listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life. Your Ultimate Life. Do you feel like you live your ultimate life? Like, what is that even? I named this show that, and I get asked all the time, well, what is that? You know, is it some fantasy where everything goes right? And the answer is no, it isn't. It isn't some fantasy world that can't exist. It isn't some fantasy world where nobody does anything to piss you off. None of that stuff. In fact, all kinds of things happen that is not what I want. I just spent a week and a half fixing this computer. So I upgrade my computer every 4 years or so. And it was time. I had a 4-year-old computer. And after that many years, it gets a little slower than I want and that kind of stuff. So I said, okay, I'm going to rebuild this upgrade. And it took a whole week to finish this particular one. I'd done one about 4 months ago, my other recording studio computer. And this one, the video computer, I started it again and I used the same motherboard. It was just all these problems, right? And it took me several hundred dollars and a lot of wasted time. And ooh, that was frustrating. So how can I talk about an ultimate life? Well, I'll tell you what the ultimate life is for me. But while I do this, I want you to think about what it is for you. And when I ask that of a lot of people, I get words like, well, freedom. I can do anything I want, whenever I want. Okay, that is only interesting for so long. What I know from my own personal experience, and a lot of it sad and struggle and experience with clients and others, is that we are built to love and serve each other. And so in a world that's hedonistic, where everything is about, give me what I got, and I got mine, and I want, and I have more than you, and everything else, the idea that you have more joy because you love and serve is kind of weird. And I'll just say up front, it's weird. But you know what? It's true. Now let's talk about this body that we're in. We all know that there's something besides the body, right? Where there's an energy or a spirit or whatever you want to call it inside of us, right? And you know how I know that? Think about a person who's lost one leg or two legs. Are they any different? Their mobility is different, but they're the same person. Like, you know, it's not that. And if you lose an arm, like, I don't know at what point it affects that. But the energy that is truly us, right? It isn't the body. So the ultimate life, a life that is you love every day. Think about this for a minute. What would it take? Who do you have to be so that you wake up every single day and are thrilled with your life, no matter what's going on around you? And I told a little story about the computer just because that was a recent, almost trivial example of a few hundred dollars and several days of, you know, laying on the ground under the desk and putting the computer up on my desk and messing around. Didn't faze me a bit. Didn't change my mood, my attitude, how much I loved myself or my wife or you listening to this or anything else. Because that's me. That's who I choose to be. And so one of the things I emphasize in the coaching that I do is that you can have anything you want. Ah, I'm bouncing the desk and my picture's bouncing a little. You can have anything you want. That's real. You can have anything you want. So the question is, well, how do you do that? Sign me up. Because you see all kinds of people selling real estate investments, Bitcoin investments, get rich quick things. I have a good friend who invested in some cryptocurrency and it was too good to be true. And after a few weeks, turns out he lost his, I think it was a $10,000 investment. Yeah, it was too good to be true. Yep, it was. So what is it that creates your ultimate life? Well, I have first an invitation for you. If you want to create your ultimate life, there's some resources for you there at www.yourultimatelife.ca. Now, I use .ca because I'm in Canada, but anyway, www.yourultimatelife.ca. There's some free stuff, and the free stuff is designed to help you know what I have learned. I had a really interesting and kind of a twisty-turny life. I'll be 68 in about 3 weeks. And when I am, you know, I won't be any different than I am now. I'm committed every day I draw breath until the end to help you and everyone who wants it create that kind of happiness and joy. All the money in the world won't buy happiness. We know that because of how many miserable, addicted, suicidal, broken people there are that have more money than they know what to do with. I used to be in that group. I'm not in that group anymore, not because I don't have money, but because I've learned the joy of true service and love. So let me tell you how I define the ultimate life. And if that, if it offends you, if you go, oh, that guy's crazy, then this probably isn't the show for you. I define the ultimate life as a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, where I wake up every day on fire with a purpose, on fire with prosperity. And I use prosperity instead of just wealth or cash because it's so much bigger. Yeah, I have the money I need, but the prosperity is of relationship, of feeling, of just the joy of life. I use this background today because it's such a beautiful picture. It's in Phoenix, right outside where my wife Joy and I used to live when we lived in Phoenix. Now, 2016, about 8 years ago, or coming on eight, 7 years ago, we moved up here to take care of my wife's mom and, you know, tell because she's getting older. She's 90-something, 92, I guess. And so we lived down there for 8 years, and that was a picture right outside there. But it's just a beautiful background with the serene picture and some clouds and blue sky. And I love that one because Phoenix, of course, has 330 days of sunshine. So you had to wait to get some cloudy days. But anyway, we lived there in joy. We moved up here in joy and happiness. And everywhere we go, we take our own joy with us. Why? Because we live in purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, how did I get there? Well, that's the story. Because I named today's episode, What's It Worth to You? What's It Worth to You? I just conducted a coaching class earlier today, and I was talking to about a dozen students, and I was talking about the trajectory of growth, talking about what do you want? And where are you now? What do you want? Is it money? And these all happen to be coaches that are trying to fill coaching practices, different areas and different specialties. But all of them have the same question about how do you get the clients you need? How do you find the people who want your help? Well, that could be true of any profession. But here's what I said. You are where you are today. You have zero clients, you have one, you have 10, and you want to have how many? Or you have $1,000 and you want to have 10,000, or you have 100,000 and you want to have a million, or you weigh 100 pounds too much and you want to lose some weight. There's a beginning point and a destination. Creating your ultimate life is knowing that you have the ability to walk the road for any goal that you want. You can have, and this is so, I say it so slowly and dramatically because it took me a million years to learn this. And after I learned it, it is like, oh, the most breathtaking, powerful truth I can imagine. You can have anything you want. Money, health, happiness, joy, satisfaction, love, friendship. You can have all of it. No matter where you are. The question is, are you willing to walk the road that goes from where you are to that destination? Now, I hiked a mountain once, and I'm not an experienced hiker, kind of, you know, just average weekend warrior type. And so we went on a hike that was quite steep with a family and some friends and stuff with a guide that was quite experienced and was a hiker. And so we hiked up this mountain, and it was easily the steepest hike I've ever done. And it took several hours, and we hiked it up, and it was rough, and it was hard. But the view at the top was spectacular, right? And then the trip down actually was even more difficult because, and I didn't know it was going to be, maybe because I was already tired, or maybe because you're using different muscles. But the point was, I could stand at the bottom and look at that peak and say, there's no way I can do this hike. But there is. There's a trail. There's a path. Other people have walked it before me. If I'm willing to put the effort in, the energy, deal with the sore muscles afterwards, I couldn't walk for 2 days. If I'm willing to do that, I can make that ascent. So I want you to think about the life you want. Where is it? On a beach? In the mountains? How much money do you have? More important, what is your driving purpose? because money just buying things gets boring. I know. So purpose, fulfilling and meaningful purpose, is the root of the ultimate life. Living with a purpose, creating, driving a purpose. Now, you might have a little cause. It might be to help something in your community. It might be to be a very active school patron when your kids are in school. My brother was an OBGYN doctor. And you know what? He lived in a small town in Wyoming, and he was famous in that town. So famous, not for his OBGYN. He was the town doctor, and he delivered, I don't know, a million babies. And it's not a very big town, 50 or 60,000 people. And he was famous for his bread. After he worked for 25 or 30 years, he retired, and he runs a bakery now. And he's called the bread doctor. Now, I've known all the way along he was a spectacular cook, a spectacular chef. He grew his own herbs, and he could cook all kinds of stuff, loved eating stuff that he made. And so in his town, he was the bread doctor. And here was what was funny. About, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago, I was in Los Angeles speaking at an event. And I met, you know, a whole bunch of people at the event, and I spoke a couple of times and got to know some of the other speakers and so forth. And one of the I asked her where she was from, something, and she said the name of this town. And that was a shock because of, you know, I'm in LA and this is a little town in Wyoming. And I'm thinking, aha, in the world is that possible? So she asked me, because my last name's weird, Flukiger, right? She said, do you know? And then said my brother's name. And he has the same last name, obviously. And I said, yeah, he's my brother. And she knew him as, you know, the bread doctor because of his bakery. And so that's only the first thing. The other thing is he ran the local musical theater group for decades and did all kinds of fabulous performances and helped people learn and grow and develop their talents and everything else. So his profession was medical. His passion was cooking and music and serving with it. And one of the heartwarming things is he has a daughter who's Down syndrome. And so he's taught her, and she's very beautiful, capable, and she works in the bakery. So part of this was to help her. Part of it was because of his love for cooking. But that is where his real joy has come from. When he talks, those are the things he talks about. And so purpose isn't necessarily tied to your profession. It can be. And that's what I discovered creates the most joy. Is when you tie your way of making money you tie that to adding good to the world, the way that you love to do. So for me, you know what that is? It's writing books and writing and performing music, songs, albums. I've got a ton of those things and coaching. So I had a 30-year career doing something I got paid really well to do and didn't enjoy. Didn't feel connected or anything else, and had a lot of disasters and negative stuff in my life. That period ended in 2007. If you want details, it's in the book Tightrope of Depression. But my point on here on The Ultimate Life is I made an abrupt about face. I walked away from everything and started life over again in 2007, now 16 years ago, 16 years ago last August. That abrupt change was complete. I walked away from everything and started over without having any idea what I was going to do, but knew I needed to start over. That's it. In doing that, it gave me the freedom to create the life I wanted. And that was the price I had to pay to start creating my ultimate life. I had to walk away from everything I knew and start all over again. That isn't always the way it happens. You might have a yearning to do something. In that coaching class I was teaching this morning, I asked people how committed they were. Raise your hand. How committed are you to filling your coaching practice? You know, and their hands went up, some of them tentatively, some of them shot right up. And you could see the measure of their commitment just by the reaction to that question. That is exactly the question. How bad do you want to get there? What's it worth to you? So today, I was thinking about this today because we just had Veterans Day. We've got two wars going on right now that involve I'm in Canada right now, but my wife and I are both dual national, United States and Canada. So they involve all of us in spirit, if not in person. Our homes aren't being attacked here, but the war in Ukraine, which has been going on, coming up on more than a year and a half, 20 months, be 2 years in February. And then this new war in Israel that's going to go on, we don't know how long. And they're not small, little things. They're terrible, horrible wars with massive casualties and all kinds of sadness. And we have Veterans Day, which is a remembrance day, is what we call that in Canada, Remembrance Day. But it is to remember sacrifice. Now, when I say, how bad do you want it? We here in the Western countries, in Western Europe, in the U.S. and Canada, enjoy almost unlimited freedom. Almost unlimited freedom, freedom to think, freedom to create that ultimate life. There's no way I could have become the author and the musician and the coach that I am in many places in the world. But I'm blessed to live in this place. But even with that blessing, there is a price to be paid. And that's how it ties into this whole Veterans Day thing. We've got these wars going on and people are paying with their lives for the principles, the things they believe in. Well, most of us, most of the time, are not called to do that choice. We don't have to choose to sacrifice our life to protect those around us or to provide for them or to get the things we want. Life is usually not on the line. You know what usually is on the line? Time, our laziness, our commitment. So we do have to make those sacrifices if we want to get to the top of the mountain. In my mountain example, if we want to get to our ultimate life. We keep looking for shortcuts, and guess what? There ain't one. There's no shortcut to happiness and joy and purpose and prosperity, because a lot of that comes in the effort, in the journey, in the work. So let's go back to the original question. What's it worth to you? Well, here's the process I take people through in coaching to decide what they want and to assess whether or not it's worth it to them. I want you to think with me right now of what you want to have over the next 14 months, 6 months, by next summer, by the 4th of July, right? That's what, 8 months, 7.5 months? I like to use holidays because they come and go and we know that, right? It's getting a little close to the end of the year to say New Year's. So let's just say the 4th of July. What do you want different in your life by the 4th of July? Like, what is it that you'd love to wake up and have that day? Now, I'm not talking the world of Harry Potter wands where magic, you know, magic happens and there's no effort involved. People keep looking for that, and there are many that are willing to separate a fool and his money, someone who's trying to buy the shortcut. But let's just think about real goals. So I'll tell you some of the goals that I have while you think about yours. Right now, in a month ago, October 14th is my New Year's. So my New Year started a month ago today, and I committed to help 250 million people to do something. I committed to help 250 million people. Now, help 250 million people. What the heck does that mean? Well, it can mean a lot of things. I can mail everybody a penny. I can mail everybody a dollar. I can mail everybody $100. Would that help them? I don't know. It depends on what they need. It depends on what they're missing, what they want. My commitment is to help them to discover who they really are. And that means to get past those fears, those barriers, those ideas that we have that we're small and unimportant, that we don't really matter, that we can't do much, to get over that. Because the truth is, you can do anything you want and you can have anything you want. That's the truth. We don't live in that story most of the time. We believe we're limited and that we can't and things won't work and not me, somebody else. That's how we believe, but it's not true. So if you think about what you want, what is it? Where are you now? I'm going to use money as an example because people use that a lot. So I have some monetary goals. But my most important goal is this 250 million. So that's all I do. Yeah, I run a coaching business. Yeah, I help people write books. I help people tell their story in video. I help people create programs and products, and I help people create coaching practices, and I help people launch their stores and grow their businesses. But it's all in service of their dreams. Like, what are you dreaming that you think you can't have? Do you dare answer that question? What are you dreaming right now that you think you can't have? I don't know, but you do. I have two questions for you. Number one is, why don't you already have it? If it's something you really want, why don't you already have it? Now, I don't know what you're saying here to that question, but most of the time when I ask that, the answers that come back point outward. Somebody didn't do this, or somebody did this. Somebody did that to me. Those things happened, you know, or didn't happen. Somebody was going to this and that. It's all external focus. The blame, if there is any, is out there somewhere. Well, as long as the blame stays out there, two things happen. One, I feel better because it's not my fault. And two, you're never going to get what you want. Because the outside things aren't going to give it to you. That's why I asked the question, what it's worth to you. So question number one is, why don't you have it already? And you can make up whatever reasons you want, but if you blame outside, you're never going to get it. And then the second question is, what's it worth to you to have? So in the context of the coaching practice, filling that in with these businesses that I was talking to today, a dozen or so, they have to assess what it's worth, because you have been living your life in a certain way, and that pattern and path gives you the results you have today. You make the money you make today, and you have the friendships you have the health you have, and it comes from the habits you have today. If you want a new thing, if you want some process that provides you more money, if you want some process that provides you better health or better relationships or more spirituality or more joy, you have to change what you're doing. There's a joke I tell when I talk to people, and I say, yeah, looks like you're looking for the sauce they sell on aisle 13 and a half in Safeway. What? There's no aisle 13 and a half. I know, and there's no platform 9 3/4. In Harry Potter, either. We keep looking for the magic sauce that I can pour on my existing life and get some new result. It's not going to happen. So let's talk about what you can do and how you really can make that difference. So if you think about what you want by the 4th of July, that's 7.5 months from now, what do you need to do? Who do you need to be to create that? Because you know, if you keep doing what you're doing today, you'll make the same money, you'll be in the same position, living in the same place with the same complaints, same. Nothing will change. Now, we don't possess the ability most of the time to change everything all at once. Now, there was that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once, or something like that, early this year. It was last year because it won some awards. But anyway, that movie, the title of it anyway, Everything Everywhere All at Once, is how we think life works sometimes, and it isn't. Growth is gradual. Our process to grow toward your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, joy, having the goals you want, it's just like physical things. Okay, it's just like physical things. I'll give you an example. In my late 30s, I was nearly 100 pounds overweight. Not quite 100. And I had a job that was busy, and I was trying to run a recording studio at the time. And so I was working 14 to 16 hours a day. I'd never exercised, and on and on and on and on. I finally said, this is enough. I am not going to do that. So here I am. My starting point was way overweight. My ending point was, you know, be in a lot better shape. So I had to ask the very same question. What's it worth to you? Kellen, and I looked myself in the mirror and I said, I'm not going to be the guy that can't play with my kids, that can't play ball, that can't run around and play tag and run around in the park. I'm not going to be that guy. Just not going to do it. So I set out the very hard way. No pills, no anything, just diet and exercise. I picked up my martial arts study, and it was a dojo that was quite close to the house, 5 minutes, and went after it hard. And you know what? That climb up that mountain took me many months. And at the end of those months, my resting pulse was 46. I'd lost all the weight, a few more pounds than I even needed to weigh. I was in fabulous shape, and I made it. But the journey was rough. It was focused. It was concentrated. And I got some good martial arts skills on the way. I earned a black belt and all that stuff. I'd already participated before. You don't earn a black belt in 9 months. But anyway, so that's the question for you. And I, on this show and on my podcast, Your Ultimate Life, I interview lots of folks who talk about those same kinds of changes. I had a guest the other day on the podcast who talks about living in Bali. He lived in Bali for many years, and he had a fabulous business and all kinds of stuff. And he was a big deal in that particular area. He had a retreat center and all kinds of stuff. And then something happened, and I don't know all the details, but all of it disappeared in a very short period of time. Lost his home, lost his business, lost his ability to stay there. Just boom. Some internal catastrophe. He had to start over. So the podcast episode and conversation wasn't about, gee, what a terrible thing happened. The question is always this. Okay, that happened. Whatever that is in your life. And for him, it was that loss. And then the question is, okay, what are you going to do with that? So he packed up, took his children and went somewhere else, came back to the States, started a new business, and started over. Now is creating some success. Now, that's the interesting story. The interesting story isn't the loss. The story is what happens after that. So you, right here, right now, you have an amazing story. I don't know if you're at the beginning of it, if you're at the middle of it, or if you're way up on one of the mountains of it. But you do. Now, if I told you the story of my life starting in 2007, when I walked away from everything and started over, it wouldn't have been very interesting. Because in 2007, I finished a 30-year career, but I was also an addict. I was spending $3,000 a week on cocaine. I had attempted suicide a couple times. So that wasn't a very interesting place. That was a sad story of a broken person who hated his life, who learned how to make a lot of money, who'd had high-level positions, but was miserable and broken. That's where I started in 2007. There it is. And then I had to start the climb up the mountain. And that's what I did. And I got the help I needed. For the first time in my life, I got counselors and started talking to people and telling the truth and taking responsibility for myself and all the kinds of things that go along with that. And I crawled up that road of recovery and growth over broken glass and rocks and on my hands and knees, it felt like sometimes. And from there, I have walked up the road and up the top of the mountain. And now I've written 19 books and have a coaching practice with clients all over the world. But there's nothing magic about me. I've got dozens, if not hundreds, of stories like that from clients, from regular people just like you, who have had either small problems or enormous problems, who've had little setbacks or completely been smashed across the street. And that smashing isn't the interesting part. The interesting part is, okay, now what? Which is why I named today, What's It Worth to You? Because we can all sit around and be angry at those who hurt us. We can be angry at when the economy crashed in 2008, We can be angry at COVID that trashed so many businesses and caused so much reset. We can be mad that now COVID has made remote work really accepted, or we can be happy about that. It depends on your point of view, right? I know someone who lost their business and who still lost their way because they don't really know what to do now. So the question is never going to be the problem. The problem is, the question is, what are you, me, going to do with it? So here are the things that I learned on this road of climbing up this hill. I learned that I needed to get help. I had lived most of my life from 0 to 52, sort of in the, I can do it myself. I know what to do. Anything that's wrong is my fault and I'm going to fix it. That sort of do it yourself mentality. That's wrong. Or if I don't say wrong, I'm not going to judge anyone. It doesn't get very far. It doesn't help very much. And it's also not true. You can't do it alone. And it doesn't make any sense anyway. And real intelligence is in knowing when to get help and when to go looking for it and when to say, I can't do this. That's real intelligence. Pretending is not intelligence. So the first thing I learned in creating my ultimate life is get help that I needed. For me, that meant 12-step. It meant counselors. It meant a lot of things. The second thing I learned is I had to tell the truth. Excuse me. That was one of the biggest hangups I had. I lived for all of my life till I was 52, which is 2007. So that makes me going to be 68 pretty quick. I lived all that life believing that I could create anything I wanted verbally. In other words, it was okay to lie. When I was little, I lied to protect myself because I got a lot of physical punishment that today would be felony child abuse. So I learned to lie to protect myself. I got really good at it. I learned to lie and I got really good at the game and got all kinds of stuff and thought I could just keep doing that. But inside I was hollow and empty and a facade and an imposter and all the rest, right? Even though I created external success, money and position, I was empty. So I had to learn to tell the truth. And that was a lot of things for me. I had to learn to tell the truth to counselors, those people I even sought help from. So I used to lie to them too. Well, a lot of good that's going to do. That's like going to the doctor and lying about what hurts. Nothing much happens. I went to the doctor today earlier because I've got some deteriorated discs in my spine. Now, if I'd gone to the doctor and told him I had pain in my left side of my head, it wouldn't have done any good. He wouldn't have been able to help me at all. I had to tell him exactly where it hurt, when, and how. Now, that's a silly example. And you say, well, of course you would tell him the truth there. Telling the truth about other things that hurt and are broken is exactly the same. Exactly the same. I didn't know that to start with. So I had to get, number one, I had to get help. Number two, I had to learn to tell the truth. You know where the hardest place was to tell the truth? To myself. I'd gotten so good at lying to myself about whether I was trying hard, whether I was okay. You know, just the list is endless. And you know what? I know you know what I'm talking about because we all do that. Some of us do it a horribly lot like I did, and some maybe just a little. But telling the truth to yourself is the most fundamental and foundational piece of getting out of any difficult situation. If I can't tell the truth about where I am, I can't make any progress. All right. The third thing I had to do was make a commitment. And by that, I just mean I'm going. I'm going up to the top of this mountain. I'm going. I don't care what it costs, time, effort, setbacks, money, embarrassment, struggle. I don't care. That was something I'd never done before because I lived my whole life with this fungus, I call it, a witot. WITOT, witot, fungus. It stands for what I think others think. I lived so much of my life just married practically to the idea that what other people thought defined my existence. And that's just not true, and it's damaging. So I had to make a commitment that regardless of embarrassment or struggle or who knew what or who came out of the woodwork and embarrassed me or said what or whatever it was, I was going to climb this mountain. I was going to climb it. And believe me, there were setbacks. There were people that came out of the woodwork for my professional career because I'd been a drug addict during part of that time and tried to embarrass me and expose that. And, you know, just the nightmare scenario, people trying to take you down, trying to damage you with what they know about your past. So that nightmare stuff, that happened. Not as bad as I thought it could, but it happened. And so when I say a commitment, the commitment has to be all in. Like your ultimate life, when I ask people if they're completely happy, here's the answer I usually get. Oh, yeah, I'm happy. You know, things are going pretty good. Is your life perfect? No, it's not perfect. I mean, there's a lot of things I want better. I want different. Are you living your ultimate life? Well, ultimate, no. Why not? Are you going to wait your whole life for some externality to get organized so you can finally live in joy and happiness every day, all the time? You might look at me and say, Kellen, you're crazy. You can't live in joy and happiness all the time. Sorry, I beg to differ because I do. It was a long, steep mountain climb, lots of blood and guts and scratched knees and everything. But there is a mountain. There is a road. There is a way. So the third thing is commitment. I'm going no matter what. No matter what. Now, that was a phrase that I used to abuse, really. No matter what meant not really no matter what. Now I've learned what it really means. No matter what. Setbacks, betrayals, sadness, hurt, disillusionment, it doesn't matter. I'm climbing this mountain. Now, you may get to this point and think, wow, I got to tell the truth. I got to get help. I got to have that kind of commitment. I don't want to go there. You know what the beautiful thing about life is? You don't have to. You can be, it's completely okay for you to be exactly where you are and stay there. The thing that makes me sad is when I talk to people and they say, I want this, and they describe something, and I can't have it. And that statement is only true if you're unwilling to do the work. So that says, I want the shortcut. I want the easy button. Well, ask any Olympic athlete about that. I happen to know one. In the church that I go to here, there's a guy. And I didn't know this at first, but he was in the youth program with me. And we, not this summer, but the one before that, we went camping with some of the guys. There were 12 to 17. So we went camping with them, and it was by a lake. And so they were swimming there. And this fellow, you know, took his shirt off and I to go swimming. And I thought, whoa, man, I mean, talk about cut, right? And I thought, this guy is something. And we got to talking, and it turned out that he had just retired, maybe 4 to 6 months before, from the Canadian Olympic gymnastics team. Well, he looked like it. You know, you could see that. I mean, those guys that do the rings and the Iron Cross and all kinds of crazy stuff that you can only dream about. Well, there he was, in the flesh. Hello, right there in front of me. Well, if you think about an easy button, talk to somebody like that. Talk to somebody who's at the top of their game as a performer, as an athlete, as an artist. I've got a client right now who's a world-class artist. He paints beautifully. He also is a master with this new emerging AI stuff, and he blends them beautifully. But you know what? The guy spends, I don't know, 8,000 hours a day on his craft. And so he is an absolute dynamite master. All right, so that's commitment. How bad do you want it? Now, if you're not trying to get to Mount Everest, then you don't have to have Mount Everest commitment. But if you tell me you want more money and you come and we talk about what it takes, and I say, well, here's some things you can do to start creating that right now, this month. Oh, yeah, but I don't want to do that. Okay, that's fine. What's it worth to you? Okay, so we talked about getting help. We talked about telling the truth, and we talked about commitment. The next thing after that is you have to have a process for consistency. A process for consistency. Because it's easy. We all have done it, made New Year's resolutions. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get a better job. I'm going to whatever it is. Doesn't even matter. And it lasts a day, a week, a month. Most don't last a month, a week. And then we fall out of it. Because why? We don't have a process. Well, we weren't really committed to start with, because that's not no matter what. But one of the reasons that no matter what is so hard is because we don't have a process for consistency. That's one of the reasons I love being a coach as much as I do, is because I am part of the process for consistency. I meet with clients every week. They set the goals. It doesn't matter. Money, health, family, relationships, repair, forgiveness, whatever. Literally all those things. I have a client that I worked with who has had a strained relationship with his dad. So what did we talk about? We talked about forgiveness. What would that mean? What would it look like? What would you have to do? What would be the benefits? And at first there was a lot of resistance, and then there wasn't. And then there was glorious joy. And, you know, so the changes took place and the blessings came from that. As a coach, I get to see all that. I get to touch it. I get to taste it with them emotionally and feel it and experience their own joy. I got a message this morning from a client talking about, you know, there are two partners in a business, and I'm coaching both of them separately, and one of them sent a message saying they noticed a huge difference in their other partner and wanted to know what the heck I did. I didn't do anything. They did. I helped. That's what I love about coaching. So number four, a process for consistency. Now that can look like a lot of things. People talk about accountability buddies, and people, you know, someone goes to the gym with you in the morning, or they go running together if it's a physical goal. There's all kinds of ways to get a process for consistency. My favorite way is coaching, official formal coaching. And one of the things I told my group of coaches this morning is, you know what, a coach who's putting himself out as a professional coach to coach others that doesn't have a coach is a fraud. And that's a pretty stark statement, but that's the reason I say that is because if I, as a coach, am not engaged in the process of personal growth and holding myself accountable and having my own process for consistency, how can I be very good for very long with others that I'm trying to help? Because I get rusty, I get stale. You have to stay sharp. You have to stay in the game. You have to stay focused. So a process for consistency is not a trivial thing. And the last thing, there's lots of pieces and different ways you could divide this up, but the last thing to think about is rewards. Like what are you going to do? When I lost all that weight, a reward that I had in mind was going to go get a whole new wardrobe. I did. And I had also recently gotten a promotion, a work that took me off of shift work, and I was now working days. And so I got some suits, and yeah, I have snazzy looking stuff. And that was a huge reward because they were several sizes smaller than I had been able to wear for many years. And that was a reward for that particular thing. And it was appropriate for the goal and all the rest. That reward is also a motivator. So think about just those five things. And there's different ways to break it down. But you can have your ultimate life. You won't get it unless you define it first clearly. Like you can't say, well, I need all the time and all the money in the world. You'll never get there and it won't work. So do exactly what by when. So I've said by next summer, I didn't tell you the goal. Next summer, we're moving. We're moving from Edmonton to Vancouver Island because we're tired of the winters. Here in Edmonton, Vancouver Island is prettier. It's by the ocean, and we've wanted to do that. So that's a goal. We're going to move next summer, and I don't know if it'll quite be done by July 4th. That's a near-term goal, 7 months that I have. And the whole year goal, my year started October 14th, is to reach 250 million people. And guess what? You're part of that. So you have to change what you're doing is my point here. And it's not any help to know you have to change if you don't believe you can have what you want. So it starts with a fundamental belief, knowing you can have anything you want. There is a road from where you are to where you want to go in money, in business, in relationships, in finding a partner, in getting in shape, in any aspect of life. You can have that. The path, the processes to do it are well known. The thing that is lacking almost all the time is our own courage, our own willingness to make that commitment, and to just get on the road and go forward. So think about those five pieces to this. You have to be clear about what you want. You have to have a process for consistency. You have to make a commitment. You have to tell the truth. You have to get help. All of those things, but they're all available. There's no Harry Potter wands. There's no magic. The thing that keeps folks from achieving those awesome goals that are within your grasp is a lack of willingness to walk the road. Now, my commitment this year is to help 250 million people walk that road. That's why I do this show. That's why I do my podcast of the same name, Your Ultimate Life. That's why I write all the books that I write. I've got a new book coming out called Living with Purpose and Power. And in that book, I've poured everything I know and have learned about creating the framework and the process to create the life you want, the life of joy, to recreate yourself, to do it all over again, to give hope, encouragement, and specific frameworks. It's not just a bunch of rah-rah, do good, you can do it. That's nice, but it's not very helpful. So in this book and in the coaching that I do, the instructions are specific. They're actionable, daily actionable activities that vary per person depending on where your goal is. Someone's climbing that mountain and someone's climbing that one. Obviously, the steps are different. The direction's different. But the processes are the same. I want to close today by talking about your greatness. I don't know you, and I don't have the blessing of looking into your eyes right now. But here's what I know. You're a divine being. You have yearnings, and I know you've felt them. You've also had fears, and I know they've sidetracked you. You've also made excuses because you're human. So have I, millions of them. Despite the setbacks, despite the excuses, despite the struggles, despite the disappointments, despite the betrayals, it doesn't really matter where you start. So wherever you are, whatever your life looks like right this minute, and wherever you want to go, it's never too late. It's never impossible. Impossible, I read a post the other day, said, impossible, I think it was credited to Muhammad Ali. Impossible is just a word spoken by weak-minded people who haven't really tried. Now, from someone who's reached the pinnacle of sports like he did, true statement. You are divine. You are capable. You can have anything you want. I'm in the people encouragement and helping business. If you'd like my help, I'd love to have a conversation. But whether you talk to me or not, go away from this episode knowing that it's within your grasp. I don't care where you want to go, and I don't care where you're starting. It's never too late, and it's never impossible. Those are stories. I didn't even start this road until I was 52. That's not old, but it's certainly not young. I was 52 years old when I finally had an awakening that said, I need to change my life. I walked away from a 30-year career and started all over, and here I am 16 years later, absolutely living that ultimate life every day, every minute, and loving you, and loving every minute of the experience. So I offer you that invitation. If there's something I can do to help you, I'm open. If this episode has helped you, share it. If you want more stuff, go to yourultimatelife.ca. www.yourultimatelife.ca. Friend me on Facebook. Stay connected. My whole world, everything I do every day, all day, is offer this kind of help, encouragement, and love. I believe in you. I know you can do anything you want, and you, above all, have the ability to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.